Chapter 5. I started to kiss the nape of my woman's neck, and I gently ran my tongue across her velvety skin. Under the firm grip of my hands, I could feel Ibsith's back arch as she pressed her supple ass against me, and my cock began to throb against the restrictive fabric of my jeans.
Eddie.
Ibsith sighed softly as her hips began to swerve in anticipation.
Oh, my king.
I continued to kiss and lick the blue-skinned woman's neck, and she moved against me as her hand came up to touch the side of my face and hair. I lifted my wife's skirt up to her slim waist, and then I gently pulled at the string that made up the side of her tiny underwear. I knew from feeling alone the pair she was wearing. They were the lacy, see-through pair with little pink hearts embroidered on the front. My hands teased around the edges of the panties, almost moving under the thin fabric, but not quite. I'm gonna ravage you. I snarled as I lightly bit Ibsith's earlobe.
Take me, my love.
The elven woman purred, and she pushed her ass firmly against my caged erection.
I yearn to feel your manhood fill me. Ah, oh, you are my only desire.
The blue-skinned woman attempted to turn to kiss me, but my hands went to her hips and held her in place. I pressed myself against her, and I playfully pinned her against the sink as I dipped my hand between her legs. The gauzy barrier of her panties moved aside easily, and I felt the warm dampness between the lips of her pussy. Ibsith keened as I started to move my fingers in a slow circle around her clit.
Ah, you make my body sing, my love.
The night elf woman's perfect ass started to grind more firmly against me, and my hard dick responded to her movements and pressed more insistently against the tight denim of my jeans. It was excruciating, but I kept the violet-eyed woman in place, and I played with the soft button of flesh above her tight cunt to drive her wild before I gave her what she begged for. I brought my other hand off Ibsith's waist, up her flat stomach, and over the supple mound of her large breast. I could live and die between the heaving mountains of the elf woman's flawless tits. Then, with a quick movement, I worked my fingers under the low neckline of Ibsith's sundress and pulled one side down. The thin strap slipped off her shoulder, and her full breast popped out of the dress so I could feel and tease her purred nipple.
Ah, let me touch you, my love.
The white-haired woman moaned and pleaded.
I wish to give you pleasure, too.
Your pleasure's what I live for. I murmured as I pushed a finger inside Ibsith's tight pussy and worked it back and forth. As I inserted my finger deep inside her, my wife leaned over the sink, and her knees gave way to the stimulation and waves of endorphins. Ibsith panted.
Yes! Oh, Eddie, I want to feel you. Please give me your manhood.
I want you so badly. I growled as my erection began to feel strangled by my pants. I want to be inside you, baby. But I couldn't let up yet. Before I gave in to my own desires, I was going to make her come first. So I moved my finger in and out of her slick channel until I could feel her pussy contract with a mounting orgasm. Then I moved my hand between her legs a little faster, positioned my thumb on her clit, and kept fingering her trembling pussy.
Oh.
Ibsith called out as her hips bucked and drove me wild.
Eddie, I'm going to...
There was a squirt of warm juices as my lovely wife climaxed, and she collapsed fully against the sink as she tried to catch her breath in the aftershocks. But I wasn't done yet. As the blue-skinned woman held herself up against the sink, I quickly pulled her panties down and let them fall to the floor.
Yes, my king.
Ibsith turned while still panting from her orgasm, and she took a firm hold of the fly of my jeans. Then she undid my pants, and I slipped the other strap off her shoulder and pulled her dress down so it fell to the floor. Fuck, you're gorgeous. I grunted as I took in her naked form. Her breasts were incredibly large and perfectly shaped. Her waist was tiny, and her hips were wide and welcoming.
I'm so happy my body pleases you, husband.
Ibsith unzipped my pants and pulled down my jeans and boxers in one go. My blood was on fire, and the white-haired woman was my only concern at the moment. I lifted my wife up and set her on the kitchen counter. and as Ibsith wrapped her smooth legs around my waist and drew my hard member toward her wet, inviting pussy, I swiftly pulled off my shirt and threw it to the ground. Then I wrapped my hands around Ibsith's supple ass and firmly pushed my full length inside of her welcoming body.
Ah, oh, yes!
The elven woman mewled as I finally entered her.
Ravage me, my king!
You asked for it. I smirked and began to thrust my hips, and the firm movements caused the voluptuous woman's breasts to bounce with the impacts. As I moved in and out of Ibsith, I buried my face between her massive tits, and I kissed, licked, and sucked to my heart's content. My wife's pussy was as tight as the first time I'd fucked her, and it was all I could do not to come right then. Ibsith moved with me and raised her hips to meet mine at just the right times, but I restrained myself until I felt Ibsith's hips become more urgent and knew she was close to another climax. I responded to the wild bucking of my wife's hips and pushed myself deeper inside her.
Yes!
The night elf woman almost screamed.
By the gods! Fill me with your seed, my king!
Fuck. Yes, I'm coming! I grunted as I dug my fingers into her hips and bottomed out inside of her one last time. Ibsith keened with a burst of pleasure as she came, and then I released my seed into her like a dam breaking under the weight of a river. My knees almost buckled from the rush of ecstasy that filled my senses, but I braced myself against the sink and buried my face in my wife's neck as she accepted every creamy drop of me. I could feel her pulse pounding in the delicate hollow of her throat, and I placed gentle kisses there as we came down from our highs. I leaned against Ibsith for a moment as we both caught our breaths, and my wife wrapped her arms around and stroked my back and shoulders as we panted. I love you, I murmured as I enjoyed the sensation of the blue-skinned woman's delicate fingers running up and down my bare skin.
And I love you,
the beautiful blue-skinned elf whispered back. I grinned and was filled with the warm glow of great sex and the love of my wife. I kissed her for a lingering moment, but then I pulled out of her with a wet noise and grabbed my pants and boxers off the floor.
I never imagined my life would be so perfect,
Ibsith purred as she stretched luxuriously there on the countertop. I'm glad you're happy, baby, I said as I pulled my pants back on, and I smiled at the sight of my wife perched nude and all natural on the counter. I thought about taking a shower before turning in for the night, but then my eyes were suddenly drawn to the window just behind her that looked out on the backyard. The motion sensor on the porch light had apparently been triggered because the light kicked on, but I couldn't see anything back there. Get dressed, baby, I rumbled as I quickly moved to the kitchen drawer where I kept the old High Point pistol in its holster.
Is everything all right?
Ibsith frowned as she slid off the counter and picked up her clothes. Not sure, I said, and then I opened the cabinet just above the drawer, reached into the corner where a full magazine was hidden, and slid it into the gun before I made a beeline to the back door with the empty holster on my hip and gun in hand. Lock the door behind me, and then go sit with Amreel in her room.
Yes, my love.
The blue-skinned woman nodded as she slipped on her dress, and she followed me to the door. I headed out the back, and I heard the door close and then lock with a click behind me. Then I kept the pistol low, but ready, as my eyes scanned the backyard. There wasn't any movement, and I wondered if the stronger motion sensor had just been set off by a squirrel or something, until I heard a sound in the side yard. My head snapped in the direction of the sound, and I started to move in that direction. As I came around the side yard, I could feel my heartbeat in the side of my neck, and the afterglow of sex was quickly replaced by adrenaline. I took a slow, silent breath to steady myself as I noted the side gate was slightly ajar. No animal could open the hook mechanism on that gate, so there must have been a person in my backyard. I silently moved toward the gate, and my mind was instantly running through dozens of scenarios. There hadn't been an alert to my phone from the cameras in the tunnels, so it wasn't likely that someone or something had come up through the metal hatch in the lilac bushes. It might have been a burglar, but there was a reason people lived in cul-de-sacs. Everyone could see each other's houses, which discouraged break-ins. I moved through the gate, but still didn't see anyone. There was no one running through the yards or down the cul-de-sac toward the road. The front porch light on the Miller's house was on, and I did see David calmly picking up one of the kids' bikes they'd left in the front yard. David was in basketball shorts and a t-shirt, and he didn't seem at all like he'd just been running. I took a few steps forward, past my trash cans on the side of the trailer, and looked up and down the cul-de-sac as I kept the high point out of sight. I didn't see anyone else, but nothing about David's demeanor seemed like a person who had just been sneaking around a neighbor's yard.
"Oh, hi, Eddie,"
Miller said as he turned to take the small bike into his garage and spotted me.
"Hey, David,"
I said as I waved my free hand and tried to keep the gun out of sight.
"Did you see anyone a moment ago? Something set off my back porch light and gave my wife and I real scare."
"No," David replied as he shook his head.
"Might have been a stray cat or something."
"Yeah, maybe." I nodded, but I knew I hadn't left my gate open. Someone had been in my yard.
"Well," I said with a shrug, "have a good night, David."
"You too,"
Miller replied with a wave. As David turned to his garage, I turned back to the side gate of my yard. I wondered how someone could have run that way with Miller not seeing them. But then I started to move toward my gate, and my eyes fell over my trash cans and the guy crouching down next to them, just out of sight from where David had been standing. My heart skipped a beat, and I started to raise my high point. The dude was maybe a couple years younger than me and dressed in stone-washed jeans and a white t-shirt. Shaggy black hair hung in his eyes, and it took me a split second to realize I recognized him. It was Tristan, Brock Stanton's 18-year-old son.
"What the fuck?"
I frowned as I lowered and holstered my gun, but before I could say another word, the fucking kid launched himself at me. Tristan ran right at me and clearly didn't see I was armed, and his face was twisted either in anger or fear. The shaggy-haired guy tried to tackle me like this was high school wrestling, and I was able to sidestep the telegraphed move and clotheslined him. Tristan's neck hit my outstretched forearm, and he fell to the ground, but then he rolled and swept my legs out from under me. I fell back and hit the ground, which almost knocked the wind out of me. Then Tristan tried to get up on top of me, but I was still shirtless and sweaty from fooling around with Ibsith moments ago, so I grabbed the front of the guy's shirt and rolled. I was able to drag the teenager to the ground, straddle him, and pinned him to the ground.
"Get off me, you fucking freak!"
Tristan yelled. "You were the one in my backyard trying to get a peek!" I growled as I strained to hold the squirming kid in place. But he really must have been on the wrestling team, because he was able to wriggle one of his arms free, grab the side of my head, and push me off him. I assumed the dumbass would run, and that would be the end of it for now. But Tristan lifted himself off the ground and came at me with a mean right hook. Tristan's fist connected with my jaw and snapped my head in the other direction. I could taste the blood in my mouth, and I'd had enough of this little shit's antics. When I turned my head back, Tristan threw another punch, but I caught his fist with my left hand and threw a right hook of my own. I connected with Tristan's left eye, and he fell back to the grass howling. I was about to try and pin the shaggy-haired guy again until he cooled off enough to come to his senses. But then I felt hands on my shoulders and was hauled up by someone very strong behind me.
"Get the fuck off my son, you pervert!"
I heard Brock's voice say from behind me. I broke the bald man's hold on my shoulders and turned to face him, even though I was fully aware that I was now outnumbered 2-1.
"Your son was trying to get a fucking eyeful through my back window!"
I shouted back inches from Brock's big, dumb face. The kid's lucky he didn't get shot. I thought he was a goddamn prowler. A part of me was praying that he'd take a swing at me while on my property, and Brock even opened his scowling mouth to say something, but he was cut short by the sound of sirens. The burly man and I both looked around to the mouth of the cul-de-sac and could see red and blue lights already coming up the road. I looked around and then saw David Miller standing in his yard with his cell phone in his hand with a sheepish look on his face.
"What the fuck, Dave?"
Brock raged at the middle-aged father of three.
"You called the cops!"
"I thought Eddie was fighting a burglar."
Dave shrugged.
"Your son is in his yard trespassing."
I snorted with a suppressed laugh as Brock stared Miller down, and then I checked the high point on my hip. The gun and holster seemed relatively unscathed, save for some grass marks, but I still took the magazine out and checked that the chamber was clear. Tristan was still moaning on the grass behind me, but I ignored him as I looked up and glared at Brock.
"You're gonna regret laying your hands on my kid,"
Stanton said as he glared back.
"You and your little Ukrainian whores, or whatever the fuck they are."
My eyes narrowed at Brock,
but I restrained myself as a squad car with two officers pulled into the cul-de-sac. I was on my property, and well within my rights, but I was also standing outside of my old trailer shirtless and armed, like something out of a Jerry Springer episode. Punching Brock in his big fucking mouth would have felt good, but I was already gonna have to mind my manners so the cops didn't assume I was trailer trash. The officer who got out of the passenger side was a slim black woman, and she looked over, saw three men standing in a knot, one shirtless, and another on the ground, and rolled her eyes. Her partner got out of the driver's side, and he was a tall man in his 40s, with dark brown hair that had just started to gray at the temples.
"What seems to be the problem tonight, gentlemen?"
the female officer asked in a brusque tone as they approached.
"This man assaulted my teenage son!"
Brock raged, and he took several steps toward the lady.
"No, no,"
the tall male officer said as he put a hand up to stop Brock.
"You and your son come over here with me, and I'll get your side of the story."
Tristan got up off the ground, shot me a glare that was more of a sulky pout, and followed his father and the male officer.
"Sir?"
the male cop called over to David, who was still out on his lawn looking a little embarrassed.
"If you saw anything, then I'm going to need you to sit down on your porch and I'll get your statement in a moment."
David looked over at me and mouthed the words, "I'm sorry," but I just shrugged and smiled back at him to let him know I wasn't mad. Then I looked back at the female officer who was heading up the lawn toward me. "Ma'am," I said in a respectful tone, and I held my pistol by the barrel so she could see it clearly. "Just want to be up front that I have an unloaded weapon. What do you want me to do with it?"
"Just set it on the ground and take several steps back,"
the woman said in a professional voice, but her hand instinctively went to her sidearm. I held out the high point in one hand and the magazine in the other, and then I slowly put them on the ground and backed away. The officer kept her eyes on me as she moved forward and collected the gun and mag from the grass, and once she had them both, she visibly relaxed a little. But then the woman looked me up and down and frowned.
"I'm going to have to frisk you really quick,"
the officer said in a conversational tone.
"Just to be on the safe side, you understand?"
"Of course." I nodded and put my hands on my head.
"Turn around,"
the lady said, and then she gave me a brief pat-down. Since I wasn't wearing a shirt, it didn't take very long.
"All right,"
the woman said, and she briskly stepped back from me once she was satisfied I wasn't still armed.
"I'm Officer Keller. What is your name and address?"
"Eddie Hill, and I live here, Officer Keller."
"And what happened?"
Keller had a notepad out and was taking down notes as she pursed her lips. I explained how Ipsith and I had seen the light come on in the backyard and thought it might be a prowler, so I came out to see what was going on and found Tristan hiding behind my trash cans.
"And what were you doing just prior to the incident?"
Officer Keller asked as she took down more notes.
My wife and I..."
I stammered for a moment and started to blush. "My wife and I were in the kitchen." The officer looked up at me from under her eyebrows as she sensed my discomfort.
"And what were you doing in the kitchen, sir?"
Keller asked in a firm tone.
We were being intimate,"
I replied as I felt the heat of blush start to creep down my neck.
"Mm-hmm,"
Keller responded as she took another note and smirked with amusement.
"Well, that explains why you're out here half-dressed, looking like you're auditioning for cops. Is there anything else you would like to add to your statement, Mr. Hill?"
I explained how the fight had started, and that Tristan swung first, and I tried not to leave out any details. I knew I was in the right, and I hoped David could back up everything I'd said.
"If you could take a seat on your porch, Mr. Hill?"
Keller replied once I'd finished my statement.
"I'll be right with you. I just want to speak with my partner and check the witness's story against yours."
"Thank you, ma'am," I said with a nod of my head. Officer Keller started toward Miller, and I turned toward my front porch. As I looked at the house, I could see Ipsith and Amrila peeking through the living room curtains, and the horned woman's head was just above the night elf's, like something out of a comedy routine. I discreetly gestured for them to get out of the window, and I watched as Ipsith's eyes got wide before she disappeared out of sight. Amrila, on the other hand, held up one of her swords with a questioning look, as if silently asking if I needed her to murder anyone. I gestured again, more forcefully, for her to get out of sight, and the red-skinned woman pouted but closed the curtain. I sat on the front porch for a few minutes and breathed in the pleasant, cool night air. This was going to be one of the last beautiful nights before it started to get colder, and it was a shame to spend it this way. But it wasn't long before Officer Keller and her partner came back, and I saw Brock Stanton waving his fists and protesting behind them.
"My child has a black eye!"
the bull-necked man said in an indignant tone.
"Your son is 18, sir."
Keller whipped around and put her hands on her hips,
and she was clearly getting fed up with Stanton's shit.
He is an adult, and according to Mr. Miller and Mr. Hill, he swung first. On Mr. Hill's property, no less. You have no grounds to press charges, and neither does your son.
I smirked, leaned back, and rested my elbows on the porch, and I was ready to enjoy the show as Brock Stanton hung himself with his own rope, because there was no way he would let things go that easy.
So, you're just gonna do nothing?
Brock raised his voice and started to go a little red in the face.
Well, what do you want us to do, sir?
The mail officer replied with a slight West Virginia drawl.
Mr. Hill's the only one in a position to press charges, should he want to.
I didn't say anything, but I couldn't help but throw a smug look in Brock's direction. Stanton glared right back at me, and I could see the cords in his thick neck start to pop out.
This man is a lowlife!
Brock raged, and a little fleck of spittle settled unpleasantly on his lip.
He's got two women shacked up in there, and both of them just parade around the cul-de-sac with their bodies painted weird colors and dressed like a couple of hookers.
Officer Keller sighed and then turned to me with one raised eyebrow, but she smirked in amusement again. They're very proud of their bodies, officer, I replied with a shrug. And who am I to tell them how to dress? The male cop was visibly trying not to laugh as Keller turned back to Brock.
All that really sounds like their own business, Mr. Stanton,
she said coolly.
So, unless you have anything else to report, or Mr. Hill wants to press charges, I think we're done here.
I'm good, I said with a friendly smile, as long as Tristan promises to stay off my property from now on.
Here's your weapon, Mr. Hill. You gentlemen have a good night.
Officer Keller shook her head as she handed me back my gun. Then she and her partner nodded farewell and started to walk back toward their squad car.
This isn't over!
The bald, burly man fumed at me. It can be, if I press charges, I said as I calmly lounged on my steps. Do you want me to have your son thrown in jail? The big man's jaw clenched so hard his face bulged, and then he grabbed his son's arm and stomped off back toward his yard. I looked over and saw Miller awkwardly standing in his yard, as if unsure what he should do now. I stood, waved goodnight to David, and went back into the house where the ladies were filled with questions, and then I gave them the short version of what had happened.
That little snake,
Amrila said as she referred to Tristan Stanton.
Let me catch that son of a tro peeping on me. I will gouge his eyes out and shove them up his ass.
I don't think he saw anything, I snorted as I pictured Amrila pinning Brock's idiot son and menacing him with a dagger. The light came on after Ipsith and I finished, and before he could get anywhere near the window. Also, the black eye I gave him will hopefully make him think twice before trying it again.
Thank you for protecting us, husband,
Ipsith said with a sweet smile. Anytime, I grinned back. That night, we all fell asleep in the big bed in the master bedroom. I thought about trying to get something going with the three of us, but both Ipsith and Amrila were upset about the whole Tristan situation, so I figured I'd be a gentleman and leave it for another night. After all, I had the rest of my life to spend with these two amazing women, and sleeping sandwiched between them was pretty great on its own. The next morning I was up early. I showered and got dressed in my typical jeans and t-shirt, and then I started some coffee. Soon Travis was going to come by with the paperwork he'd worked up for Miller. I wasn't going to pressure David to sell to me if he didn't want to, but I also wasn't going to get into the middle of a bidding war with Brock, especially after the events of the previous night. The offer was going to be fair for both parties, and if David turned it down, then that was that. Once the smell of coffee had wafted back into the bedroom, my beautiful wives roused themselves and came out. Then, after we were all dressed and caffeinated, the women headed into the front yard to enjoy some sun. It wasn't long, though, before a dark gray Audi pulled into the driveway, and Travis Meyer stepped out of it. Meyer had a medium build with neat, short brown hair. The lawyer's round, silver-framed glasses reflected the late morning sunlight, and his dark blue suit and yellow tie were both stylish and perfectly suited to him. I stepped out onto the porch to greet him, and both the women stood to say hello. Good to see you, Meyer. I smiled as I shook the buttoned-up man's hand. There was something strange about seeing him outside of his office and out in the regular world.
Mr. Hill?
Travis replied as he shook my hand.
And this must be Mrs. Hill, and Miss...
The lawyer left the name hanging with a note of a question.
Sidorov?
Emrila said after a moment's pause as she tried to remember her new last name.
Pleased to meet you both,
Meyer said with a slight bow of his head and he shook the lady's hands. The CPA seemed completely unfazed by the women's extraordinary appearances, but then again, Travis never seemed fazed by anything. To call the man reserved would be an understatement. That was probably a requirement to be a CPA.
"Well," Meyer said in a brisk tone, "shall we go buy a house?"
I led the lawyer over to Miller's house and rang the doorbell, and while we waited for David or Jesse to answer the door, Travis looked around the neighborhood and craned his neck back to see what he could of the house from this close.
"I think our offer is more than fair,"
the man in the suit said as we waited.
"This is a nice house, and it's in an excellent school district, but that trailer next door really brings down the property value."
I was stunned for a moment, and I looked over at the normally serious man to see a smile at the corners of his mouth. "Was that a joke, Travis?" I snorted, and I was shocked to discover the lawyer had a sense of humor. Meyer winked at me as Jesse opened the door.
"Oh,"
the plump Midwestern woman said with a smile.
"Hey, Eddie, what can I do for you?"
Jesse was a pretty, sweet woman, and I'd always liked her and David. They were some of the only neighbors who seemed to like the ladies in me. "Morning, Jesse. I was wondering if you and David had a minute to talk," I asked as I smiled back at her. "I'd like to close the deal on your house."